We are in 2 Thessalonians 3:13. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. The topic is do not be weary. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. Let's read it. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Do you ever feel tired? Beat? Exhausted? Fatigued? Drained? Whacked? Before you get out of the sack? Then it looks like you have become weary. That weight on your shoulders is something we have to address before we become so discouraged that we start checking out. Life can become dreary. You can even get a little teary. But the Bible says, do not be weary. Sorry, a little pastor's rap on you there. This is 2 Thessalonians, and the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians from Corinth in AD 51, shortly after his first epistle to the Thessalonians. He wrote to encourage the believers in persecution and to correct the faulty notion that the day of the Lord had already come, which led to their quitting their jobs and being idle. One of the reasons Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians was to correct the eschatology of the new believers. Some had gone overboard and quit their jobs, saying the Lord was coming soon. As time went on, the Lord didn't come back. And there were a lot of Christians getting into trouble because they were idle and didn't make good use of their time. They started becoming disorderly and turned into busybodies in other people's affairs. It became a drain on others because they ran out of money and could not provide for their own needs. Others had to support them, and this added a weight on them along with the rest of their responsibilities. Do we need a little light out there to be able to read our Bibles? And so I could also see you. Hey, you guys are there. So these believers that were just full of responsibility also felt there was extra responsibility put on top of that. You ever feel that way? You know, because some of us do carry a lot of weight. We have so much going on, trying to keep up with our responsibilities. Is that the American lifestyle usually? Yeah. And in addition to that, there is the added weight of others who have become dependent upon us. It could be adult children that are still in the home who are not carrying their weight. It could be an elderly parent that needs looking after. Perhaps we are supporting a loved one who has a disability or is depressed. It could be someone else that is down and that you are helping out. A teacher might have too many students in her classroom and feels like all she does all day is crowd control. Some employees feel they have too many customers to wait upon. Others have quit, and their job responsibilities have fallen to you. And of course, as we're coming off of President Trump's speech, State of the Union, last night, immigration's a big topic as well. And a lot of people say, well, that's also an extra responsibility that we have to take care of. So it can fall in so many areas and sectors where we feel that there is so much of a load upon our shoulders. Do you know that God tailor designs our loads for us? And that's something we really need to think about, especially when that load gets pretty heavy. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5. Galatians 6, verse 5. Paul says, "For each one shall bear his own load." I like that, but I kind of don't like it either, because it's like, wow, I've got to carry my load. And there's certain ways to deal with that, right? I remember being here as a young pastor, and we started a school, and man, that was just, I was out of my league there, because I was went to Bible college. I just wanted to be a pastor and teach the word. Now I'm doing administration and involved in this school, and I mean, it was incredible. Then I heard that prayer that I liked, but I didn't like. It said, pray not for a release. How does it go? Pray not for lighter burdens, but for a stronger back. When I first heard that, I went, that's really good, but I don't know if I like it. But I had to come to grips with that, to pray not for a lighter burden, but for a stronger back. Knowing that, essentially, God tailor designs our loads for us. Periodically, they're going to get heavy. Periodically, they're going to be lighter. And lots of times, they're going to be in between. But just knowing that is basically, even when you're under that weight and just chafing a lot, and you kind of just go, oh, man. But right away, you go, but the Lord's in charge of the loads of my life. So he's going to be my strength. And so each one shall bear his own load. And you know, there's that old story about people, there's all these crosses in one room. And this guy said, oh man, I'm tired of my cross. It's just too heavy to bear. I want somebody else's cross. And so he picked another one up and from the room. And he thought, oh, this is really nice. This one's more tailor-made for me. And he carried it all week, and he couldn't wait to bring it back and to find his own cross again, you see? Because we think, oh, if I had your life, boy, your life, you know, I would love your load. But try it, and you'd be asking for your load back, because that load was meant for you. My load is meant for me. And so you have to be careful of fantasy and dreaming and projecting about other people's lives being more rosy than ours. It's a ripoff from the enemy, isn't it? Once we start thinking like that. So we have to bear our own load and just trust the Lord. Now, sometimes that load includes the weight of others. When you have other people who are leaning against you. And so, what do we do with that? Look at verse 2 of Galatians chapter 6. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so now we bear our own load, but the Bible also says to bear one another's burdens, which means to take time with other people as you are allowed, you know, by the Lord. Lots of times we say, oh, you know, there's not much room more on my plate, but you can always scoop the peas over, right? And put something else on when you're at a potluck. And, you know, God just wants us to not be selfish. Some people say, oh, but, you know, you have to draw boundaries. And, well, that is true. You have to be wise. But what would Jesus do? You know, how did he teach? Go the extra mile. And so we have to trust the Lord with that. And, you know, the happiest life is the life of service, isn't it? And reaching out to others. If we just say, no, you know, I've got so much going on, and I need my own time, and I want to relax, and I've got my whole day planned out, and I'm just going to get my PJs on early and watch a bunch of TV and, you know, eat a bunch of ice cream, and that's how I want to spend my day and my evening. Well, but what if the Lord brings someone in your path? You know, what if somebody calls? It's like, oh, I don't know if I should answer. You know, I better send it to voicemail kind of thing. But we have to be led by the Spirit in all of those things, of course. What's that old song? He ain't heavy, he's my brother. He's not heavy. He's my brother. He's the one that God wants me to reach out to. Jesus carried the weight of humanity's sins upon his shoulders on the cross. We're going to have a certain sense of responsibility towards others. That's what's going on here in this verse here in Thessalonians. Obviously, in context, what Paul was saying is, don't become weary. Why? Because there were others in the church who were quitting their jobs, and they felt responsible to take care of them. Jesus carried the weight of our sins. Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so there is, in life, going to be that weight, that load that we're going to feel. And so that's weight. Now, number two is weary, weary. It came down to the fact in the Thessalonian church, to the ones who were working and the ones who were not. The ones who were carrying all the weight of others started to become weary. Paul told them to not grow weary doing good. And that's hard to do, isn't it? And again, we can feel that way even in our nation and in our economy, that there are those who are working hard and those who are not, and those who are taking from the system, you know, from others who are putting in. There's a lot of people, you know, pulling out that which was put in. And so sometimes we can get a little attitude, you know, with things like that. Even though it might be true, you know, with what we see and what we study and what we observe, yet the Lord is really into attitude, you know. He's really into our tude, you know. He really searches the minds and the hearts. And he looks inside there and wants us to have the right attitude towards things, even if we don't agree with them. Sometimes our responsibilities can make us weary. I'm going to go down different categories, okay, and give you the scriptures for you note takers. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures right now. Responsibilities of work, okay? We know what the Bible says about work. In Genesis 25, 29 and 30, it says, Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom, which means red, because the porridge was red. And so here was Esau coming in from the field, you know, in a sense, let's say he was working, and he was weary. He was weary. And man, of course, he was so weary that he just wasn't thinking during this whole story. And of course, Jacob took advantage of him. So we need the Lord when we work and we get tired and we get worn out. And we know that the worst of us comes out, I would just say for me, the worst of me comes out when I'm just weary and, you know, and fatigued. You know, you'll see a side of me and it's like, wow, Pastor Louie? You know? That's just my flesh, you know, coming out. You know, because you're pushed and you're tried and you're already tired and you're already beat down and, you know, that kind of thing. Then you have more put on you. It's like, oh man, how much can a person take? And you just start feeling weird inside, and your attitude can get really skewed and so forth. And you feel bad because, you know, you feel like, I know the Lord, and I'm just in a bad mood today, and, you know, Jesus, help me. I just want to be your witness, but I'm really having a hard time right now, Lord. Secondly is family. Work and then family. Genesis 27:46. Rebecca said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are in the are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? And so, yeah, this was a tough thing for Rebecca to see her son, you know, in that situation where, you know, she wanted the best for her son and for his marriage and all. And she was so caught up in her family and what was going on that she was starting to, become weary. I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth and the situation going on in the family. That's probably what worries us the most, you know, because who do we love the most? Our families. So we usually ride the roller coaster of our families, don't we? You know, spouse, kids, so forth. When they're up, what are we? We're up. When they go down on the roller coaster, what are we doing? Going down. And it's just normal. It's normal, and we can become so weary and worn out because of family situations that seems sometimes just so perennial. They just keep coming. And it's like, Lord, there's just always so much drama in my family. Oh my goodness. If it's not one thing, it's another. And you think, oh, just, you know, once we get out of this cycle, then things will settle down, and there's another drama thing. It's like, Lord, when are we just going to be more even in our family? The third is just the general battles of life, okay? And that could just be anything from practical. Like, have you ever had, like, all your appliances go out at one time? Like your washer, and then your water heater, and then your car breaks down? Like the same, you know, span of time? It's like, what is going on? You know, and you got to deal with all this, and what am I going to do? And if my car's in the shop, how am I going to get to work? And you know, we got a leak in that water heater, and what are we going to do? And why are things so expensive? And why do they happen all at once? And I don't know if we should use the credit card or not. And, you know, all those pressures. 1 Samuel 30, verse 10, David pursued the Amalekites, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. So there was those who just were so weary of the battles of life. How about just plain emotional struggles? Emotional struggles. You know, when you go to bed at night and you're really, really tired, it's probably not so much the physical that you did that day, but the emotional. It's the emotional mental stuff that wears us out, you know. And so Psalm 69:3 says, I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. That's a funny one because I've been obviously struggling with the cold. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. I am weary with my crying. You know, we're just tired of being tired. And we're just weary because of the emotional effect things, excuse me. And then the social, Proverbs 25:17. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. And so sometimes there's those people that can become that drain on you. And it's like, wow, you know, I like this person, but too much of the same person all the time, that can be really, really a drain. Maybe you have someone at work like that. Excuse me, and they're asking you too many questions. It's like, oh, figure it out yourself, you know. And there's a particular time, maybe one of your kids are super needy and clingy, and you got your own situations going on. You don't want them to be so clingy, you know. You just want to have a little space, but nevertheless. Next, we go to just plain growing up. Here's something for the young people. Isaiah 40:30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And it's been 3 weeks. I've been coughing like this. So even the youth shall faint and be weary. Wow. You know, our kids. Remember just being a teenager and all that happened, you know, growing up. And we have to really be gentle with our young people as they grow up. And then finally is spiritual warfare. Jeremiah 6:11. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. So there's just that spiritual warfare, Jeremiah 6:11. Now, let's talk about next, after that weight. Notice how, in our text, how Paul tells them to not become weary. It appears Paul was addressing their attitude that was beginning to alter under the weight they were carrying. So you can kind of just sense that from our text. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Attitude is so important to God. When we complain about our life, we are basically telling God he isn't doing a good job in watching over us. God takes complaining very seriously. This is going to be convicting. Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Wow. Psalm 106, 24 through 25. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his word, but complained in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Numbers 11:1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord, burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. So God actually just lit them on fire because they were complaining. So often our complaints are directed to others because complaining is rarely kept inside of oneself. Right? When you complain, doesn't it feel good? You have to admit, that's why we complain. Misery loves company. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We can even complain about our church and how things are run. We even see this in the Bible, Acts 6:1. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So there was even complaining in the early church. You know, God doesn't want us to complain about our church. There is never a perfect church. Every church is like a person. There's pros and cons. We just have to seek the Lord for the church that is a good fit for us. And just like going into marriage, you have to go in with your eyes open. And after you're married, your eyes need to be half shut. Amen? And love covers a multitude of sins. There's always some weak area in the church. There's always some weak times that a church has. But isn't that family? You just go through different seasons with each other. And churches are like that too. It's like a person. And there's strengths and weaknesses. So, you know, there's plenty of churches to choose from. And when people leave this church, I always go, why? You know, to me, it's the best church. But if God is leading them, that's that's fine too. Maybe there's something over there that they can relate to better. There's different styles of ministry and so forth. But if it's a negative problem that they have, then that's too bad, because at the new church that they go to, they're going to see it again. See? And it's just going to be in another area. And they're going to have to deal with that. And some people just go from church to church over a period of time. And that's not of the Lord. You just got to go in and just be positive and go, yeah, I know this church isn't perfect, but this is my church. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to serve. I'm going to pray for this church. I'm going to pray for this pastor. And this is my church body. Don't you love your church body? Man, for 21 years, we were gone 21 years. And we came back, and it's like, wow, this church is still rocking with the Spirit of God. And the people are so loving and just accepted Cheryl and I so beautifully. Thank you, Lord, for that. Here are some promises to encourage us when we get weary, okay? And for these, we should turn. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, verse 9. Here's one of the prime ones. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Wow. It's so easy to grow weary, while doing good. But if we just hang in there, it was said of William Carey, which I think is one of the brightest missionaries ever to India, that he basically said when people complimented him on his life's work, which was tremendous, he said, my only plus is that I never gave up. I just had tenacity, stick-to-itiveness. I just kept plotting each and every day. When all of his translations work burned up, he started over again. Lots of times in life you just have to start over again. You just keep going. Keep going in the things of the Lord. See, when you're weary, you just want to quit. You just want to resign. You just want to give up. Of course, it's just so natural. That's just your weakness talking to you. Just don't give into it. Don't give into it. Just go with the Lord. Go with the Lord. He's promised to be with us each and every day. Don't grow weary while doing good. Don't give up on that family member, that friend. Don't give up on that business you're trying to start. The dreams and the hopes that you've had for so long. Got to keep going. In due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Okay, let's go to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Okay, I'm back. Thank you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, here's Jesus just speaking to these beautiful people in front of him. And the Jewish people were so under the burden of the Pharisees and the religious system. And Jesus is always trying to lighten our load. The world puts the trips on you, the loads on you. And I even do that to myself. I can make things so complicated. You know, think the worst, think comprehensively, and so forth. It's like, wait a minute. Is that how God wants us to think? God wants us to work, but he wants us to rest also in that work. And it just seems like so much of life is just trying to solve those problems, amen? And to simplify. That's what these problems are. They're just complications. They're so nettled, we don't know what to do. But the Lord can solve it all. He can simplify everything. We just have to wait upon him. Because if we don't, we get all frustrated, don't we? We start striving. And man, that is horrible. I know when I'm in the flesh, man. And I just got to back up boogaloo, you know? And just start trusting in the Lord. And go back. Go back to that ground zero and just say, Lord, I'm with you now. I want you to do it your way. I want to have a restful soul, even though I have so much going on and so much responsibility. You know, if we love the Lord and if we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can do the work of 10 people. And we can have the schedule of 10 people if we love the Lord and are baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have to learn to do God's work, God's way. Zechariah 4:6. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And how many times throughout the day do I have to just slow down, back up, and just pray? Just pray and have his peace. We're on this weird cycle, especially with, you know, technology, and I've been trying to really put that down. I'm such an addict with these things, and I get so caught up, and I'm such a speedster throughout the day, just full throttling, you know. But, man, I've been feeling like the Lord's just been saying, you know, just put that phone away and leave it in the back bedroom and put it on, the airplane thing, airplane mode. You know, I don't just be so addicted to that thing. I'd be filling up my gas, and just looking at everything, you know, and it's like, man, slow down. And just have the peace of the Lord. Look at the bird flying by as you're filling up the tank, you know? Take a deep breath. It's the source of most of our problems is anxiety. And you know, the slower you go, it really is less is more. The more you slow down, the more you get done at the end of the day. It's weird. It's like an opposite thing. Lord, help us with that. Let's give a few more here. Wonderful scriptures. Isaiah 40:31. You know this one, don't you? I just talked about a bird. Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wow. As I just wait upon the Lord, and again, I'm such a type A driven person. Cheryl will tell you that. He's always telling me to slow down and don't do so much. And she reminds me of my age and so forth. But wait upon the Lord. Wait upon Him. Be scheduled, yes. Be organized, yes. Have a calendar. Have bullet points of to-dos and things like that, yes. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Wow. How many times have I prayed this prayer? You know, I'm just so weak. And as you go on in the Lord, you just find out that you become more weaker. And it's okay to be weak. And it's okay to be operating on less cylinders than you would like. You know, so often I just pray for like the full strength. Come on, Lord, come on. You know, why am I just feeling so, you know, worn out, and then I get a cold, and I got to cough on these people, and come on, Lord, just heal me and be my strength all the time. And what does the Lord say? Where you're weak, you're what? You're strong. I mean, it's amazing, because what happens is you're taken out of the way, and the Lord takes over. He does amazing work, and you can only give Him the credit. How does that work? You know, there's been times where I've been preaching and just been so feeling so good about it, and it's like no one comes up and says anything. Other times it's like I'm all like this, you know, and or I just feel tired and worn out, and I'm just like Pastor Mark says, is blabbing my gums, but it's the Word of God. And people are like, wow, Pastor Louie, that was the best Bible study ever. I'm like, you lie. See, it's the Lord. And so we're praying for all this strength, but I don't know if that's the right prayer to pray. You know, it's okay to operate in life just not feeling great. Or adequate, let's say just that. Maybe at your job. It's like, man, why am I in this, man? But see, the Lord puts you there. You have to trust in Him. There's always something to trust God for, right? And He brings us to those places where we have to fully depend upon Him. And then He pulls it off. And He gets all the credit. And people try to credit us, and we can only just laugh and just go, whatever, you know. I know that was the Lord. It sure wasn't me. So it's a place of victory, brothers and sisters, is when we can realize this, that it's okay to be weak. It's okay to feel inadequate. It's even okay for the Christian to be depressed. Amen? I'm telling you, I go through depression. I know the body of Christ. My brothers and sisters out there go through it as well. David went through depression. Isaiah 40, he calls it the miry clay and the horrible pit. But God brought him up and set his feet upon a rock, established all of his goings. Many shall see it and fear and put their trust in the Lord. David was at his worst, and yet God used him the best. You can still love Jesus and fulfill your responsibilities and do your ministry being depressed. It's okay. But you just keep going forward. One foot in front of the other. I'm depressed. I'm going to walk through it. Jesus is going to walk through it with me. And you'd be surprised. Well, we're not surprised. We know this. I'm talking to a group that just loves the Lord. And we have a pastor that has taught us these things, Pastor Mark. Humble man. And this way, which is the way of Jesus, who in his weakness, he suffered and died on that cross. But look what he did in his weakness. He bore our sins and our iniquities. But then he rose again. And we have that death in us. But that brings forth the life of Jesus through us. John the Baptist said, less of me, more of Jesus. That's what he said. And then what happened? His head rolled. A lot less of John. But he fulfilled his ministry. It was over. And when it's over for us, then we know the Lord will take us home. Until then, we don't give up. We have this scripture. The Lord will renew our strength. And if you keep going, you know what? You actually, as you work through your weakness, your fear, and your depression, it says here, as you wait upon the Lord, he'll renew your strength. You will start feeling better because you didn't give in. You pressed through. You came out on the other side. You saw what God did. And next thing you know, there's this beautiful reward from the Lord that comes over the person that walked by faith and not by sight or feeling. You press through marital problems that way. You press through financial problems that way. You press through health problems that way. And whatever it might be, you just press on through. And God will renew your strength. And then it says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. I can't fly. That takes a lot of strength. You know? They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. See, there's times in life where you have to run. There's times in life and seasons of life when there's going to be an acceleration of activity, responsibility, and the related output that you're going to have to give to keep up with everything. And it's like, wow, you know, Lord, I'm running. But you know what? It says you shall run and what? Not be weary. Times you just got to do it, man. You know, it's not going to be forever. You shall run and not be weary, and then you shall walk and not faint. Well, I can barely walk. Well, but you're not going to faint. You know, he's with us during those times. Now, what a ministry we can have, once we understand this, to lift up those who are weary around us. Now let's turn it around. Okay? We feel that sense of responsibility. We feel the burden, the load that we talked about. We talked about these beautiful scriptures of how the Lord, as we trust in him, will get us through. Now, we can become less centered on ourselves, and kind of like, you know, the Lord's getting me through. Now I can see the outside world, and I can see that there are other people who have needs just like me. Before, I was so caught up in my own thing, right, that I couldn't see what other people were going through. And now I see the Lord has pulled me through. He's been my strength. There's nothing the Lord can't do. You know, we're waving our tambourine after those times of victory. Amen? And then it's like, okay, now there's somebody that is weary. People are weary all around us. There are non-believers, weary. They're carrying the weight of sin. You know, they have so many burdens, and they don't have Jesus. You feel so sorry for them. How do they carry all that? How do they make it through? They don't make it through. What do you mean? They have their addictions. They have their coping mechanisms. See? They're not making it through. Where do we run? We run to Jesus. Amen? The name of the Lord is a what? Strong tower. The righteous run in and they're safe. And saved by the Lord. We run to Jesus. There's a lot of other places we could run, right? Like happy hour after work. I'll tie one on before I go home. Mm-mm. We just need Jesus. He bears the burdens. There's so many other outlets, but they're temporary assuages. And we just need the Lord. He's that wonderful place we can run to. And then we won't have to be ashamed. Let's turn to one last, well, couple scriptures. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Thank you for being patient with my coughing fit. I'm glad I was like way up here and you guys were like way out there. I'm on antibiotics, so don't worry. Isaiah 50, verse 4. It says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. So God has given us the tongue of the learned. That's what's going on right now. This church is into Bible study, man. Right? Pastor Mark, all over it in the Word. I mean, we love the guy. He's such a fantastic teacher and always has been. And like they say, there's never a bad Beatles song. I've never heard a bad sermon from Pastor Mark. Not one. And so we're taught very well. And then we go home and read our Bibles, and we have Christian music and radio and things like that, you know, that supplement and all. So we're in the Word, and we love the Lord. And we are educated believers. Our tongue is learned. In other words, we have that knowledge in us, and we are able to dispense that knowledge when it is appropriate, right, to others that God would bring in our path, or something we could say to someone as we use social media or whatever. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Speak a word in season. And at that appropriate time, as the Lord leads us. We don't just go out there and blab all of our knowledge. Proverbs says to not do that. We need to restrain our words and not just show off with what we know. But as the Lord opens the doors, there will be that season, and we can speak a word to him who is weary. And it doesn't take much. You know, you've had people do that to you. It's like, wow, I needed to hear that. That was one little short little phrase or encouragement. And there's been times where I've been here at church or in another context, and it's like I was really seeking the Lord and I needed definition in my life. And, you know, it's like someone in the hallway or out in the parking lot, you know, those parting little conversations that we have. And it's like the person didn't even know it, but they said something that was so anointed, and it became a word of the Lord to me, like a word of knowledge. And I didn't even tell him, but I walked away, and it was like, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's exactly what I needed. Isn't that amazing? And so we speak a word in season to him who is weary. There's weary people out there. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. Need to wake up with Jesus, isn't it? So many things to think about. My mind is very analytical. When I wake up, I just start just thinking about everything. So I really have to bring those thoughts in. I can't say I wake up singing with the angels because I don't. You know, maybe I'm still coming out of a those weird convoluted dreams, you know, or whatever. But as I just lay there and just turn it all over to the Lord, you know, and you just get up and start making your way in the morning and just looking to the Lord. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. And God starts telling us about the day. He starts showing us about what to do. Sometimes it's driving to work, you know, and God gives it to you while you're driving. It's like, wow, Lord, that is amazing. Now I know what to do. I didn't think of that yesterday, but now I have that today. Lord, that is really good. I know you're with me. And then when you go, you'll have opportunities to just encourage people. People are so weary. They're carrying such a load. Non-believers, tell them about Jesus. Believers, encourage them in the Lord. Now, finally, Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. We know this one for sure. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And look at this. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Well, that's going to be the day, right? No more bipartisan disputes. You guys watched the State of the Union address last night. You know, some people stand up, some people don't, you know. You know, the afterwards when people comment and are so divisive. But the government's going to be upon the Lord's shoulders. Jesus is going to be king. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so that's what Jesus is now, as our Lord and Savior. And this is what he's going to be when he establishes his earthly kingdom. It's going to be amazing. In verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there's going to be a day, brothers and sisters, where we will be weary no longer. The government, everything will be upon Jesus' shoulders. You might have a lot on your shoulders right now, but be encouraged. Your brothers and sisters are bearing their burden, but at least we have Jesus. Amen? Before, we didn't know what to do, you know, and we ended up in so much trouble. Why? Because we were troubled. But with Jesus, look how he's delivered us, and look how he carries our burdens even today. Let's pray, and let's give our burdens to the Lord. Father, we just thank you so much for making your word plain to us. We thank you, Lord, for your word that talks so much about not being weary. So, Lord, you are okay with us coming to that point of weariness. But, Lord, we know what to do when we get there is to not let it overtake us, Father. We are to turn to you and trust you that you will be our strength, even in our weakness. Lord, may we all be encouraged tonight to know, Lord, that we don't have to walk through life alone. You are with us. Lord, you are that burden bearer. You come alongside. We are yoke fellows with you, Lord. Thank you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, when we feel life's responsibilities are so much and so many people are leaning on us, we just lean upon you. We're not going to fall, Lord, if we lean upon you. Thank you for how strong you are. Father, lift up those burdens tonight. We cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. And we just pray, Lord, that we would just go from this place, just feeling that freedom, knowing that we're not waiting for all these problems to be over and then, you know, start being happy. We can be happy right now. Lord, even with unsolved problems and situations and some of these situations that have been so long, and we think, Lord, that they're going to be even longer. But we know that you are with us and we can trust you for everything, Lord God. And you won't give us more than we can handle. You'll make a way of escape for us, Lord, that we might be able to go and just keep doing what you've called us to do. And we thank you, Father. We put our faith and trust in you now. In Jesus' name, amen.